Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, this afternoon, you're in for a special treat. I have a marvelous, gifted person by the name of Tricia Mitchell. She's a spiritual consultant, trainer, speaker, and healer. And she also is known as a psychic shaman. Based in England, she works with clients globally online to quickly release issues relating to love, money, self-worth, business, relationships, and inherited trauma. By blending her knowledge of almost two decades in business with energy psychology therapies and coaching techniques, along with her ability to immediately see, sense, know, hear, and feel the cause of client stuckness, people are enjoying liberation from lifelong transgenerational issues. She also guides you to the awareness of the interconnectedness of thoughts, feelings, and the cause of your health concerns. Humor and compassion is the vehicle she uses to transport you towards peace and joy. She supports and empowers healers who are coming into their gift and undertakes soul retrievals in her spare time. She's often found in the woods with her furry friends, Bert and Charlie, reconnecting with nature. Her website's under construction, but it will be coming live in the near future. And so if you want to make a note of it, I'd encourage you to do so. You may very well be interested in contacting her at a later date. And her website is on the World Wide Web, www.trishamitchell.com. And that's T-R-I-C-I-A, and Mitchell is spelled M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. So it's www.trishamitchell.co.uk. And so without further ado, let me introduce Tricia. Tricia, how are you today?
Hi, David. Thanks for such a wonderful intro. I was just about to correct you and say that it is .co.uk, not .com, but then when you repeated it, you said .co.uk.
So I did it the wrong way. Our guest wasn't reading what was written before me.
Yeah. Thank you ever so much for inviting me onto your show. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. I would let the callers on the line know that we will try to get to as many of you as possible. I haven't talked to all of you. There's six of you at present, and we may or may not be able to get to all of you, but please be patient. And Tricia worked with me the other day, and I received a marvelous healing from her, and that's something that you could do with her privately. Tricia, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how your gifts evolved and what it is that you do.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so I got to a crossroads in my life where I wasn't too sure where I was going, what I was going to do. You know, that existential, what's the meaning of life and what's my purpose? Why am I here? And why is the world so messed up? It was then that I went for my first psychic reading. And the medium said to me, "You're a healer." And I laughed at her because at the time I felt as though I couldn't even help myself or heal myself, let alone anyone else. And she said to me, "You're a very, very powerful woman." And I laughed because I was at a point in my life that was, you know, I was really, really vulnerable and I felt anything but powerful. So I decided, I think it was in a subsequent reading, the reader sent me some Reiki healing for my neck. And I thought, well, I'm going to go off and I'm going to learn about Reiki. And it was through Reiki that I started to feel sensations in my body that belonged to the people that I was laying my hands on. And so Reiki taught me that you don't actually need to be in physical contact with somebody in order to send them energy. And it worked through walls, it worked on the internet, it was quite bizarre. And my gift started to slowly unfold. I did some psychic workshops, some development workshops, but I found that the personalities there and the, I thought going into the spiritualist church, everybody would be there to do some soul searching, but it was just a microcosm of people in the wider world, so you had some interesting personalities, so I pulled away. So it's taken me a while to get to where I am, and I actually stopped even trying to tap into my gifts. And then my spirit guides just started to teach me, so it just evolved. What I do now with people is I help them with their business problems. So if they're stuck, if they're entrepreneurs and they have a business block and they don't know what it is, I can see it straight away. So, for example, one of my blog posts that I have online is a chap who had a number of businesses. He would grow them. He was into MLM, so multi-level marketing. And each company he'd grow and the wealth would come along and then he'd lose it. And it just repeated that pattern throughout his life. And as soon as we started talking, I saw the number 15 in a football, and he said, holy expletive. That was the age where he was about to sign as a professional footballer, but he chose not to because he was in a relationship with a girl. And I said, what was the decision that you made? So that's the coaching coming in. And he said, I felt my life was over. And so I saw that each time after that moment when he was 15 years of age, and this guy was in his 40s, he built up a business only for the business and the wealth to slip away from him like that professional football contract did. So a bit of rewiring, a bit of mindset work, and he's now flying and his business is growing at a rapid rate. So I can work with people on their health. I'm able to feel in my own body and use my own knowledge from the training that I've been on to explain to people what kind of beliefs and emotions are attached to that organ. So if it's the legs, it can be about us feeling unable to walk forward in life if there's an emotional situation in our past and we're feeling stuck. The most logical place for the body to express that is in the legs. Or if we want to, if we're carrying a lot of responsibility, we're shouldering a lot of burden, it's going to be carried in the shoulders. So anybody who's got a problem with the shoulders, I'm like, okay, that's really interesting. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what area of life you have the issue in, because we are, as Bruce Lipton says, 50 trillion cells. You know, it's about the body, it's about the person on a spiritual, physical, emotional, mental level, and those beliefs and emotions that have been imprinted in the early years of our lives that are then forming the patterns that are causing us problems as we get older. So I work with people to release those using my psychic gifts as well as using my training as a coach and as an EFT practitioner and a Reiki master.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, we all have different gifts.
Of course, yeah.
You know, it's amazing the diversity of gifts.
Mm.
And do you work with people in terms of helping them come to understand their own gifts?
Yeah, a number of people that approach me. The easiest way for me to explain it, David, is that I think the path that we walk it for a reason. And there are people ahead of us that can help us along our way, and there are people behind us who are waiting for us to outstretch our hand and pull them along. And so the people that I tend to attract are those who are at the crossroads that I was at a number of years ago. So they are questioning why no matter what job they do, no matter which business they set up, it isn't satisfying them. They feel as though their soul needs, I want to say satiating, but their soul isn't being fed and the jobs aren't working out. So they go from one job to another, to another, to another, to another. And the way that I explain that to them is, it may be that you're accumulating experiences and you're getting ready to start working and being of service. And the reason why they're not working out is because it's not what you're supposed to be doing. And so I think people feel reassured once you are able to shine a light on why things haven't been working out. It's because they've been preparing, they're getting prepared for what they came here to do. So what I then do is I help to unlock their spiritual gifts. And often people have an inkling that they have these gifts. And for a lot of people, they shut them down when they were young because they might have seen spirit and then became frightened. Or it might be that their parents or their relatives didn't want to hear that nonsense. Or they see that they're different from their friends, so they learn to contain and suppress that gift. And then it's about unlocking that that's always been there within them.
I see. Well, that's very interesting. And just to let you know, the order of the queue has changed. We lost one of our callers.
Okay.
But we do still have six callers at present. Would you be ready to take a call?
Of course.
Okay. Our first caller is actually Jennifer. And Jennifer, you're live.
Hi, Tricia. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How are you?
Good. Good. My question
is,
what issues do you see with me regarding relationships?
Well, before you even started talking, Jennifer, my gut went. So when you're talking about relationships, I was just going to ask you to clarify whether you meant that was romantic relationships or relationships within your family, but what I'm feeling in my throat is that it's difficult to swallow. So I would be asking, if I was working with you, I'd be asking questions about whether there were situations in your life where things have been difficult to swallow emotionally, and that gut feeling that I was tapping into, it's quite uncomfortable, actually. Just bear with me whilst I check. Okay, so one of the tools that I use is when I coach people is called embraining. So we work with the head, heart, and gut. You know when people say, I don't know whether to follow my head, follow my heart, or use my head, or trust my gut? When you have a decision to make, it's because they have their own intelligences. So, you know, we should always follow our heart. But what I'm feeling from your gut is that you are feeling stuck. It's a mobility issue. And when we can't, when the gut feels that it's not safe, it's not going to allow us to move forward. So if there is a threat to our survival, to our self-preservation. So with it being difficult to swallow emotionally, and I'm feeling the mobility issue in your gut, I would be asking if there are past relationships or events in your life where you have found it difficult to move on from, and whatever has happened with you and the person has been I'm swallowing even now, has been difficult to swallow. Would that be right?
Yes.
Oh. That felt quite violent in my gut. What I'm going to say based on what I'm sensing, I've got a feeling in my glands, it feels. Was there some fear involved? No. Bear with me. What's the sensation in my glands? Worry. There was some sort of worry involved. Is that right? What's the worry that I'm sensing?
Regarding relationships?
At the moment, I'm just... Is this regarding relationships? Yeah, it is. And it feels as though... I don't think you've expressed your truth, because I'm trying to clear my throat to communicate to you and I'm finding that difficult. But also my glands are now feeling swollen. And I think that that's somehow connected that's connected
yeah,
to the woman. That cough isn't mine.
Yeah, there's
sorry,
a person that I'm interested in, and I know he's interested in me, at least at some level, but we've never been able to, I guess, as you say, speak our truth to go
what
forward.
What is it you haven't got off your chest? Okay. What is it that you've not got off your chest, Jennifer? Because I'm coughing.
I guess my true feelings.
Okay. And what would happen if you did express your true feelings? What's the worry?
That he doesn't want the same thing.
And so would that feel like a stab in the back? Because I just felt something sort of near my shoulder blade on what would be my mother's side. So if he didn't want you, is that some sort of reflection of a pattern perhaps with a female relative in your life when you were younger? That's the kind of thing I'd be exploring.
My mother.
Yeah. Yeah. I did mention on the mother side I was trying to be discreet and allow you to say, no, you're totally wrong. Okay.
Oh, no, my mother
so
and I are not close.
Okay. You know, I never know how people are going to react, and I tend, when I'm working with my clients, I hold them in a safe space, go for the jugular, and hold them with compassion, lovingly as we walk through the fire. And there's tears of relief at the end, of liberation. But, you know, I didn't want to take you there. Okay, so what I would advise in terms of all, my voice does change at times, all future relationships, Jennifer, you need to invest in healing the relationship with your mum. The patterns, that you're running a story, we all run stories. So, you know, just keeping an eye on the time. If you have a really good time, if you go to a fairground or you go to a party and you have a whale of a time, you don't hold on to it. You don't beat yourself up about it. You just go, oh, yeah, that was great. And then you get on with your day. But when it's something that's traumatic, we hold on to it. We beat ourselves up and, you know, we'll hold on to it like thorns. And then we feel justified. I feel this way because of what happened when I was growing up, and it shouldn't have happened, and I wish that I'd had an upbringing like Betty down the road who had a marvelous mom and I didn't. And that can just wreak havoc with all your future relationships. You've got to let go. You've got to find it in your heart to forgive. Of the two elements that are required for us to heal anything. There's some other bits as well, but the fundamental parts are compassion and forgiveness. So, have you heard of Ho'oponopono?
No.
Okay. Dr. Len Hugh, he basically healed a ward of mentally ill patients by using the, I think it's a Hawaiian tradition, and it's basically, it's got four elements, which is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. Now that practice, if you do that for 30 days, that should help to heal your relationship with your mum. I don't know whether it will clear all the layers, but it will help. What you're saying is, as we're all one, I'm asking for forgiveness for my contribution towards the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. It's going to work. If you want that relationship, if you want future relationships to have a chance, it's the simplest tool that I can share with you today. So it's Ho'oponopono. It's spelt H-O-O-P-O-N-O. Ho'oponopono. So it's P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O. And it's H-O-O-P at the beginning.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Have a look for it on the internet and do that for 30 days and see how you feel. But be genuine. You know how sometimes you go, okay, I forgive you. It's got to come from the heart, not from the head.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Take it into your gut and swallow it, because the gut is where our identity lies. So any changes that we make, it needs to be made at a gut level. So easiest way to integrate that, once you've done that practice, I don't know if you want to say it sort of 10 times a day for 30 days, but when you finish saying it, take a glass of water and drink that, and that will aid digestion. That will help to swallow it down into your gut. and that'll help enormously. Has that been helpful, Jennifer?
Okay. Yes, it has. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Have a great day.
Thank you for calling,
you
Jennifer.
You're
okay.
Welcome.
God bless.
Bye.
Okay. The switchboard's going slowly. Our next caller is Laura, and Laura, you're live.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I'm
just
wondering about. Good. I'm just wondering about career.
Career.
Excuse me.
And what you get around career for me.
Well, when you said career, straight away I saw an old-fashioned typewriter. So I don't know whether you are involved in sort of the creative arts, whether you write. I don't know where that typewriter. Okay, bear with me. Is this on your father's side that there would have been somebody who worked with a typewriter? I don't know whether it would be like in a, not a publishing company, but sort of like in a newspaper office where editorial, that kind of, where would that old-fashioned typewriter go that was just flashed in front of me?
No, I've been writing a little bit, but just not anything I would publish. I wrote this thing about my daughter, but it was nothing that I would publish or I would write. I'm not a good writer. I would never want to do that, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I wrote a note to my daughter.
Okay. So, I've got a pain. Well, yeah, but I've got a pain as well, which if you're happy, I'll guide you through what could be contained there. Because all I'm thinking now is, why would it be such an old-fashioned, you know, the it's like a black typewriter with the old round keys, so it's black and silver, and it's not somebody who's sat in front of a modern-day PC or a Mac computer. It was a distinctive old-fashioned one, and it was placed on the father's side, so I wondered along the line.
Not that I can remember.
That's okay. Okay, so you're asking about career. I see a typewriter and you tell me that you've written a letter to your daughter, but you're not very good at writing. When you were younger, did you like to write?
No, never, ever. I hated it more than life itself. I hate it.
That's a lot of energy around that, isn't it?
I was told that I was not a good writer. I ended up being a writer for part of my job as an investigator, and I hated every minute of it. And now when I clench my fingers together, I get a carpal tunnel. So,
what I was feeling was at the pad of my right thumb.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you just focus there, I hear what you're saying about the carpal tunnel, but actually I felt it in my heart. And if I was to push you, I think you did like writing. Your heart desires to write, but because people have filled your head with nonsense saying that you couldn't write, you now despise it because somebody's told you that you're not very good at it. So the easiest way for us to protect ourselves against something that we loved and somebody said, you're crap at that, you go, well, I didn't like it anyway.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. So just focus on the pad of your thumb. Has a penny just dropped or something for you?
Has there a penny dropped here? Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I heard you say, yeah, as if to go, yeah, actually, you've got a point. Okay. The pad of your right thumb, if you were to focus in on that, if it was to have a colour, what colour would it be?
Purple.
What shape would it be?
Round.
What texture would it be?
Smooth.
Would it be light or heavy in weight?
Heavy.
Okay. Just humour me, if it was to have an emotion attached to it, what emotion would it be?
That all depends. Probably inquisitive.
Okay. which would probably tie with you being an investigator. Why did I see the number 7?
I like it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. So, I'm not sure.
If, as you focus in on that, in the pad of your thumb, just ask it, what happened around the age of 7? How are you tied to number 7? What does it show you?
Well, that was right before my sister died. But she died when I was 8.
Okay. Is that the sister that you wrote a letter for?
No.
You wrote the letter for your daughter, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you used to... I'm just asking, I'm not seeing this psychically now. Did you used to... Okay, great. Did you used to write for your sister or write with your sister?
No. I've read some stuff of hers. I read a thing that my dad wrote me. And I just wrote this thing for my daughter, but it was just a note to her. It wasn't, you know.
How old was your daughter when you wrote the note to her?
Well, I just wrote it the other day. She's 21. I wrote it yesterday.
Okay. Okay, so what I'm feeling right
I
now
mean,
is that...
I've heard that
on.
I'm a very good speaker and counselor type of person, but I'm...
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm feeling, darling, at the back, on my back, is your heart. And my nose is starting to run, and I know that the nose is connected to the heart. It's the olfactory sense. You know how the smell of grandma's cooking or the smell of something can just instantaneously take you back to that memory?
Oh, yeah.
It's really intense.
Oh, yeah.
Go straight to the heart, yeah. So how I'm going to interpret that is that you lost your passion when your sister died, or something died within you when your sister died. And I'm going to suggest that given I saw the typewriter, it may have been your passion for writing. Does that feel true, or does that feel as though I'm making it up?
Not at all. Not at all.
Not
true.
Not true at all. Okay. What is it that died then? What's the passion that died when your sister died?
I was just a little kid. I'm not sure. You know.
Did you used to jump rope?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There is something then I would suggest around joy. If you enjoyed jumping rope, because I just saw a little girl jumping rope. Do you do a lot of things in your life that bring you passion or not? That bring you joy?
Not a load. Not a huge amount. I mean, I try.
To feel joy. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but...
That book's really telling. I'm going to suggest, compassionately, that part of you doesn't allow you... I'm not going to say shut down, but part of you doesn't allow you to feel that passion and joy. Because for me to see an image of... Go on.
Well,
I thought you were going to say something then.
To think about that is painful, and so I try to not.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come to terms with my sister's death and everything. I believe that there's another side. I feel okay with it, you know. But I don't want to dwell on it.
No. But what I would say, I'm totally in agreement, but what I would say to you is that you need to release that. You need to find a way to release the pain because our bodies store up trauma. And the fact that we've gone back, okay, what I didn't say is that I tend to go straight to the root cause of the thing that is sticking people. And so for me to see that age when your sister passed, and the writing thing and the energy around how much you hate writing. And then as we start talking, you're talking about the pain and how naturally as humans what we do, we try to protect ourselves from pain by sort of shoving the hurt to one side and not truly feeling. But the problem is, when we turn down the emotional thermostat so we don't hurt, we don't get to experience joy. It turns down that emotional thermostat across the board.
Sure.
And so we end up doing, we end up doing relationships with our heads. We go for the safe bet instead of the person who may hurt us because we've been hurt in the past and we don't want it again. So what I'd recommend to you, are you a reader? Do you like to read?
I am. I love to read. I love to read.
Lovely. There is a beautiful book, and it's by Grant. It's a guy called Grant Suzaloo. If you have a pen, I'll spell his name out for you.
Okay.
Do you have a pen, yeah? Lovely.
Yep.
Okay. Surname is S for sugar, double O for Oscar, S for sugar, A for Arthur, L for London, and U for unicorn. Not uniform.
Okay.
So, Grant Suzaloo. And the book is called Loving Your Life.
All right.
And it's a coffee table book, but it's got sort of positive psychology and a neuro-linguistic programming and using the head, heart, and gut intelligences so that you can start to explore the things that you enjoy, using your head in creative ways, using your heart in compassionate ways, and using your gut and getting that gut courage to move forward and sort of explore.
Okay.
Because you deserve to be free, darling.
Oh, yes,
so,
I do.
Yeah. And maybe one day. Go on.
No, you're good. Maybe one day you're
okay.
Good.
Maybe one day you will allow yourself to, you know, look at writing with a different energy, because I'm a Taurian and I'm quite stubborn, and I do truly believe that you do love writing, but because you haven't allowed yourself to feel because of the hurt that you had in the past, it's easier to dislike writing with a passion, especially because somebody said that you weren't good at it. If it was something that you really enjoyed before the pain kicked in when you were a young child.
I believe that.
Okay. So, read the book. And if you do like it, I'm going to plug Grant because he's just marvelous. If you really like it, please leave a review for him on Amazon, because I think it's a book that could help so many people. And I wish you all the very best.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great stuff. Take care.
Right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Calling Laura. God bless. Okay, we're going to move on in just a second. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, Holly, you're live.
Hey, Holly.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
You're sounding
I'm okay. I'm trying to be.
Yeah, you're sounding sort of
Hello.
Upset.
Yeah.
Can you still hear? Yeah, okay. So, Holly, are you on a mobile phone or something?
Yes, I am.
Is that? Yeah, that's why the reception's bad. Okay. How can I help you, Holly?
I am wanting to know what. So, my partner recently left me, and it just came out of the blue, and I'm wanting to know what the reason behind, like, the separation is, and if it's going to be, like, permanent.
Okay. This is probably an answer that I'm not going to answer psychically. You know, sometimes in life, that may not be actually helpful. I'm feeling my heart right now, and we have free will. So I could say to you, oh, he's going to come back in 6 months or 12 months, he just needs to sort himself out. Or actually he's not, but you're going to meet Prince Charming and you're going to have this wonderful life. But the fact of the matter is, Holly, I don't know. I really don't know, because I myself have had readings where my soulmate twin flame was supposed to be coming And that was years ago, and it hasn't happened. So I tend to avoid giving people the false hope, because sometimes what happens is that we put all our eggs in one basket. We hang our hopes on that person coming back. And in doing that, we forget, we can't see the opportunities, the other people that could come into our lives and help us relationship with them and grow and heal. And what I believe is that people come into our lives and sometimes they're like mirrors. So the part within us that needs healing, and right now I'm feeling your heart, it can sometimes be that by coming together, what happens is that it shows us that we don't love ourselves enough. So we can then go on and do the work and start self-caring and trying to explore self-compassion. Or we go and do a relationship with someone else who treats us the same way because we allow them to treat us the same way, and it keeps on happening until we get the message and we go, why does this keep on happening? Why do I keep on attracting this kind of guy? And then we go, I've had enough of this now. And then we start to realize that it's because we don't love ourselves enough that we attract the kind of people who reflect that back to us. I'm not saying that that's the case in your situation. What I'm saying is, I'm feeling your heart, okay? I saw the number 4. And bear with me. This is to do with your identity, I believe, Holly. So, I'm going to ask, I'm not sure, but did Mum and Dad separate when you were young, or what happened? What's the separation?
No, but they separated late in life, like just maybe 10 years ago.
How old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
I'm 37.
So that was when you were 27. Were they like, what, ow, oh, ouch, okay. Would you know if there was any argument when you were 4, because I'm feeling that in my left fallopian tube. So I know that that's to do with arguments. It's kind of loss. Argument with the partner.
I'm sure they did fight, but I don't remember.
Okay. I don't know why, but I want to ask you, was there any time that you used to spend at your grandma's or not when you were little?
I never knew my grandparents.
You never knew your grandparents? Why did I see grandma coming in then? Bear with me. Bear with me. Okay, so I've got an energy with me. I've got spirit with me on my left-hand side, which is where females come in. And the reason why I saw grandma off on the female side is suggesting to me that this pattern isn't actually yours. So this separation, whatever has caused it, seems to stem from her. And this would be... it's your grandmother on your mother's side, even though you've not... excuse me. Sorry. My gut is starting to convulse. Okay. So what I'm getting, rightly or wrongly, what I'm picking up on is that on your maternal grandma's side, there was some fighting, and it seemed to be, what's kicking in my gut is this self-preservation. So I don't know whether grandma and her partner fought, but that's the kind of energy that I'm getting. Did you and your partner fight or not? Because I don't understand why.
Yes, we did. Yes.
You did, okay. This isn't actually, this is inherited. So it's like transgenerational trauma. So what people have found, or people, researchers have found, is that, you know, 9/11, women who were pregnant around the time of 9/11, the anxiety and the trauma they experienced, that gets passed down through the umbilical cord. So baby gets that along with the blood and the nutrients. So babies then have the anxiety. So it alters the gene. It alters our DNA. What I'm suggesting to you, and I'm getting quite warm, so there's some healing being sent right now. The pattern with you and your partner isn't yours, it's your grandma's. And so there's a really simple thing you can do. I don't know whether it will change things on his side, but what you can do is just say that you're handing this back to your grandma with kindness and consciousness. So just, if you want to sit in meditation, do you meditate? Or do yoga?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So whether you're, do you do yoga as opposed to meditation or both?
Both.
Both, okay. So if you want to sit in meditation and just visualize a box in front of you, give it a lovely colour, put a ribbon to one side, take the lid off the box and invite out all that belongs to your grandma in relation to fighting with her partner and the separation. Allow that energy to float into that box with kindness and compassion. Put the lid on, tie a ribbon around it. Just visualise your grandma coming towards you on your mum's side, your grandma. Hand her that box back with kindness and consciousness, and then allow her to float off, or however you see her disappearing. Because this pattern that you're running, I don't know whether you've had this pattern before, but what I see is that it isn't yours, it's your grandma's. So you can hand it back energetically. Does that help?
Yeah.
I don't know what the outcome will be, Holly, but at least you'll be free of, if you just focus inward and just check that that's all gone once you've handed it back, then at least you're free of that pattern when you resume this relationship or any other relationship. And just remember that, you know, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and we've chosen to come down to learn certain things. We just don't get to choose how those lessons are presented to us. I hope that's helpful, Holly. Holly? Have we lost Holly?
No, she's still there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Aww.
All right. Lots of love, darling.
Thanks for calling, Holly. Heal well, honey.
Thanks.
God bless.
Bye.
Okay.
Aww.
You know, Holly, if she's gone but she's still listening, pray. Ask for healing. Okay?
Okay, Holly, we're going to move on, honey. I know you're still there and feeling emotional. Just know that our best wishes are with you, and that, you know, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Okay, our next caller might be... Yes, area code 917.
Right.
What is your name?
What's your name? Sorry?
Hi there. Oh, what's your name?
It's Tim. T-I-M, Tim?
Tim, hi.
Tim, hi.
How's it going?
How
thanks
can
for
I
taking
help
my call.
You? You're welcome. Oh. Tim, there's some background noise. I don't know if you can move to a quieter. Okay.
I think I'm at a quiet place now. I was just wondering, I'm attempting to bring some new possibilities, job-wise, career-wise. Not really sure where I'm going or where to start, but I'm trying to focus myself, get some intentions and messages from spirits, try to aid me along, trying to do some visualization, talk to guides and angels.
Right.
I was wondering if you just had any tips or anything you can tell me, just maybe aid me along this path.
Okay, Tim. It was quite funny. I thought you were a spoof caller at first. I didn't know why. And I wonder whether I was picking up on, I don't know if you have an energy of slight paranoia, because I was slightly paranoid going, he's trying to trip me up. So I don't know whether that's an aspect of you, you know, kind of being wary of people, because my eyes have been darting from left to right, almost like a lighthouse. But I almost wondered whether, not whether you had anxiety, but it was almost hypervigilant and trying to suss things out visually. I'm trying to interpret a lot of information, but I was just scanning. Is that something that you do? You scan and you scan and you scan. I don't know whether that's your environment, your landscape, but you're constantly on the lookout. And the amount of information that you gave when you came on, and I'm starting to feel that actually now in my chest. Do you work yourself up a bit over this?
Do I work myself up a bit? Yes, I do. It's I'm trying to not to. I'm trying to not get worked up over it and just to trust the process and spirit that I'm being taken care of and that I'm going to figure it out. But up until now, yes, I have been working myself up over it, and I'm trying to move into not a fear-based programming to create the reality that I want.
Tim, I know you didn't. You were asking about jobs and direction, but I thought, and I wonder whether there was an event when you were a schoolboy, age 8, because at the moment the roof of my mouth has gone really dry. You know, excuse me, you know when there's fear and your mouth goes really dry? That's what I'm feeling now. It's the roof of my mouth, completely dry. As though, you know when you've been running, you're like, total fear. That's what the roof of my mouth feels like right now. And I don't know whether you used to wear glasses or not, because I found myself squinting. So I have no idea whether you were bullied as a child or not, or whether there was an incident, but I just saw aged 8. What can you tell me about that around that time?
Eight?
It made you anxious.
I can't tell you anything. I'm notoriously bad with memory. I'm not sure.
Okay, so one of the things that feels like there's a bit of anger building up in my body as you're trying to tap into that memory. A lot of the time what we do, Tim, is when things are painful, we block them out.
Okay.
Oh, for all good reason, because, you know, you don't want to remember the crappy things that happen in life, do you? If you were to focus on the roof of your mouth, if there was to be a colour there, what colour would it be?
First thing that comes to my mind would be yellow.
Okay, just bear with me a second.
Sure.
Okay. So, let's go to your throat, shall we? Because obviously I was trying to communicate something. So just go to your throat for me. What colour? If you were to focus in on your throat where that cough is, and it had a colour, what colour would it be?
Orange.
What shape would it be?
Circular.
What texture would it be?
I guess kind of coarse.
Okay, would it be light or heavy in weight?
It'd be light.
Okay. What emotion would it have attached to it? Just humor me, if it was to have an emotion, what emotion would it be?
I guess laughter? I don't know if that fits to this, but that's what comes to mind.
This would be one of those where we keep on peeling back all the positive emotions until we get to the one that's hiding under the laughter and all the, you know, peace, love, and unity. Because when we are what we resist persists. So if we're having a really good time, we allow that. We let it go. That energy in motion, that emotion, it passes through us. We don't hang on to it. The negative emotions are the ones that we tend to get stuck in our bodies because we're resisting it. We don't want to feel it. And so, of course, it persists because we're not in allowance. We don't allow it to travel through and leave our body. Now, when I was asking you some of the questions to associate you with the sensation, with that cough in the throat, I saw a seesaw in my mind's eye. And I don't know whether that's to do with balance or a lack of balance, seesawing. Is that possibly what you do with your emotions? Or when I say seesaw to you, what does that mean?
I think that might possibly be what I do with my emotions. Maybe it's the Gemini in me. Sometimes I'm even keel, like, okay, I got this. I'm going to figure it out. I'm not exactly sure. Then other times the anxiety kicks in, like, what am I doing? I'm almost middle-aged. What am I supposed to be doing? So that could be very well be the emotions, me going back and forth.
Okay. What I'm going to suggest is there a practitioner in your area that can do, I was going to say past life regression, but I don't think it's that. It is the event when you were 8 years of age. Ouch, I'm feeling that in my clavicle, bear with me.
When I was 8 years of age,
so you know when I said, I was going to, okay, so my intention was to say, see a practitioner so that you could access that memory when you were 8 years of age, but the past life memory thing kicked in, and I've now got a pain on the left-hand side. So I think this, I actually know, this is a, I don't know if you believe in past lives or not, but this feels like a past life, and it feels like I've been, brace yourself, speared. On the left-hand side. But if you have a past life regression kind of practitioner, somebody who you've got a relationship with, who you trust to guide you to that trauma, I believe the reason why I've seen that is that that is, oh yeah, I'm feeling that in my stomach. Self-preservation. Okay, so what happened in a past life is somehow tied to your self-preservation, probably because you didn't survive, which you've carried through into this lifetime, and it's somehow not rooted but associated with an event when you were at school when you were 8 years of age. So I believe that if you clear that, your anxiety will ease. But if tell them to focus. If do you know somebody who does like past life regressions that you can go and see in person?
I do not, but I think I'm going to look to see if I can find somebody.
Yeah, if you know anybody sort of in the spiritualist church or anybody who does crystals, you know, on the same wavelength as you, get a recommendation. Ask to speak to the person who's been guided by them. And then if your gut tells you that this is the right person for you, then do. But where I'm feeling it is collarbone on the left side.
Okay.
So if they focus in that area, that will take you to the event that I believe is linked to 8 years of age. It's the same sort of pattern, that anxiety, that fear, the dryness of the palate. And once that's been healed, you know, energy healing on that, your anxiety should lift. I'm not going to say it disappeared altogether, but it'll certainly make a difference. And I think that will allow you to stop scanning wildly with your eyes that I was picking up on, which will then allow you to focus more so that you'll have more clarity in terms of career. You'll be able to see more clearly because you won't be distracted by the anxiety, I'm going to say.
Gotcha.
That's your first port of call.
Definitely.
Sorry, your first port of call. Do you have a problem with your speech?
I do not.
Okay.
Now that I'm aware
of
that.
I just wondered why I tripped over my words when I was saying that's your first port of call. But yeah, do that, and I'm sure that things will become a lot clearer in terms of your direction moving forward.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, David.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye, Tim.
All right, Tim.
Bye.
Bye. We're going to take one more caller. And just to let people know, we can't get to all of you. I'm sorry. It's just the way it goes. You really need to call in 15 minutes before the show starts in order to secure a place in queue where you will get a session with whoever I have on the line, be able to talk to them. And Tricia does have a website under construction. I'd suggest you note it down because the callers on the line didn't hear this before. It's www.trishamitchell.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
And
they can also search for me on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, if you put Tricia Mitchell in, I think there's a few of us, but I've got the psychic sort of title on there, so...
Okay.
They'll be able to send me a message there if it's easier, if it's urgent.
Beautiful. Well, is it okay if we'd run a little over, Tricia?
That's absolutely fine, yeah.
Okay. I think this caller might be Trish.
Okay.
Is this Trish, the caller?
Hi, no, it's Jane.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you both doing? Hi, Tricia.
Good.
Great. Thank you. Hi. How can we help you today?
Well, I feel very blocked in all areas of my life, especially as far as my career and love life. And, what can you identify that's blocking me?
I saw a baby as soon as you started to talk, so...
Okay.
Just bear with me a second.
Okay.
I don't know whether this is your mom or it's somebody else. At the moment, I'm tuning into some, I'm going to call it a neurological condition because my head started to nod, almost in a Parkinson's sort of way, you know, one of those kind of degenerative neurological disorders. Do you know somebody who's related to you, whose energy I'm tapping into?
That has Parkinson's? Or
it's a neurological... Not quite. I'd say it's more than a tick. It's a rhythmic sort of nodding of my head back and forth.
Oh,
and
I can't
down.
Think
not,
of any.
Not greatly. But...
Yeah, I can't think of anyone at the moment. With that, it's not someone I can identify at the moment.
Have you got an aunt then who it might belong to? I don't know if they're having investigations or not, but it's certainly somebody who is associated with you. I know you can't think at the moment, but the word aunt came up.
Possibly. It could be an aunt.
Well, just I'm not saying that that's coming up in the future, but just keep an eye out for that. It may be that... It may be that she's experiencing that, but she's not actually telling people.
Okay.
That is, I'm starting to feel that where I feel anxiety, but let's focus on you.
Okay.
Oh, pardon me. Right. So, you said that you're blocked in all areas of your life. I've got spirit around me at the moment.
Okay.
Bear with me.
Okay.
So, I believe that the baby is you.
Okay.
Ow, ow. Okay, so I'm feeling that in the ribs on my right side.
Okay.
So this would be on the masculine side, and what I'm getting is that this is to do with protection, and I'm getting really, really cold. So, excuse me, I'm going to suggest that there were some traumas that you picked up on when you were a baby. So how was your relationship between your mum and your dad? Because I'm getting that this is to do with protection and it's on the masculine side.
Well, I didn't get a, like, I mean, I didn't live with my dad. So I, you know, I only saw him, you know, a few times. So I didn't have a good relationship with him. And my mom was very strict when I was growing up.
Okay. So that possibly explains the protection thing. If your mom's very strict, she was possibly trying to protect you, do you think, perhaps?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
But very overprotective.
Yeah, that tends to happen, though, when it's fear-based. As a reaction to things that have happened. I'm not quite sure who it was that was hit. So I've got a sensation, or I'm seeing that hit on the right ear. So
okay.
I kind of get the impression that the protection is to do with violence between your mum and your dad, sort of domestic violence.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, I'm always happy to be wrong, but that would explain the protection issue that I was feeling, your mum being overprotective, and I'm seeing you as a baby. So
okay.
It could be that the way that the mind works is that it reacts to situations that are either real or perceived. So if you were seeing something, if, for example, your dad hit your mum, you know, on the ear...
Okay.
During the first 7 years of life, we're in a hypnotic state and we're learning rules and how to operate and be in the world by observing and listening. So you may have interpreted that as an act of violence, which has caused blocks, potentially, I don't know.
Okay.
What happened when you were 15? That's a number that's just flashed up.
When I was 15 years old, like something traumatic, or I can't remember.
I'm now rubbing my third eye, so I don't know whether you had gifts and you've shut down, or it's telling me that you lacked vision. You're lacking the clarity.
Lacking clarity, lacking vision. Would be more like it.
Okay.
At that age.
So you don't have a lot of recollection about what happened when you were 15, or is that a general kind of not remembering things when you were younger?
Probably just can't remember her that long ago. Can't remember 15.
Right. Okay. So you can remember your childhood though.
Yeah, somewhat. I can remember.
Somewhat. Okay, but there's some bits that you can't.
Growing up with a strict mom. She was very strict with me.
Yeah. Okay. But the other bits are kind of... Do you have some vague sort of hazy memories?
Vague hazy memory. As far as, like, anything that happened, or sorry, hazy. I can't really say. I mean, I can't. I don't know.
Jane, I say this with love in my heart. Are you a vague sort of person? Are you vague about a lot of things in life?
I think so. I guess.
Yeah. I don't mean that in a critical way at all. I just mean that this is what seems to be coming over. So you wouldn't be able to tell me anyway. Okay. So when did you decide to be vague?
When did I decide to be vague?
Okay.
I'm always very indecisive. Like I'm an indecisive person. But
Okay. So, if I was to ask you to place a hand on your heart and to ask your heart if your heart wants to communicate with us today, do you get a sense of yes or no?
Sorry, I didn't get what you asked. Sorry, the last part.
Okay. If you were to place your hand on your heart,
okay,
and ask your heart if your heart is happy to talk to us today,
uh-huh,
what, do you get a sense of yes or no?
I would say yes.
You would say yes. Lovely. Let's just ask your heart. When did Jane decide to become indecisive? What number, or what does your heart say when you ask it? What sense do you get from your heart?
At what age?
Sounds like you're thinking it. If you focus on your heart, Jane,
mm-hmm,
just ask your heart,
okay,
to give you a sense of when you decided to be indecisive. What does your heart show you?
Mm-hmm. Probably my teens, sometime in my teens.
Sometime in your teens. Okay, just ask your heart to show you or give you a sense of the purpose. What was the purpose of Jane's indecision? What does it show you or allow you to feel? What was the purpose of your indecision? What does your heart say?
I don't know, lack of focus. I don't know.
Okay. And just ask your heart, what was the purpose of the lack of focus? What does your heart give you an impression of?
Lack of focus, lack of direction. I don't know.
Are you in your head again, Jane? Sounds like
I think
it.
So. Yes, I think I am. That's
what it is. Focus again on your heart again. And ask your heart, what was the purpose of you being indecisive and lacking focus? What does your heart clearly show you as the truth? I've just had an image of a zebra, Jane.
Okay.
And for me, a zebra is, it's not a horse, it's neither a horse and it's not a, I don't know what other animal to compare it to, which is a bit unfair on the zebra, but it's like, what are you? You're not a horse and you're not whatever, you know, make up your mind.
Yeah.
How would you interpret a zebra in relation to what we're looking at now with your life? Have you been unable to decide who you want to be and what you want to do? You're neither here nor there.
That's right, yeah. Don't know which direction. Again, lack of focus and direction.
Did you feel split between your mum and dad, and your mum and dad perhaps, I know you said you only saw your dad a few times, but did they have different ideas about who they wanted you to be?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And so you don't know what to do or who to be because you're still running a program of other people's projections of who you should be, i.e. your mum and your dad's projection of who they want you to be as opposed to who you want to become and who you truly are. Does that make sense?
Yes,
would
they had very high.
True?
Yeah, that's true. They had very high expectations for me.
Okay. So basically, in terms of your blocks and not knowing what to do, I am going to recommend a book that I recommended to one of the other callers.
Okay.
Because one of the explorations in there is when I loved myself, I think more wondrously, I let go of, you know, I forgave the world for being, for not being perfect, but I also let go of my parents' expectations.
Okay.
And became my own person. So that's the book for you. And I think that that will do far more. Reading that book and doing the exercises, doing the explorations, it's a beautiful book. And I'm not on a commission basis, I swear. But I do facilitate the book journey. It will do more for you in terms of exploring who you are and what you want to do and the kind of goals that you want to set. So it's by... Do you have a pen and paper?
Yeah, I got a pen and paper.
Yeah. It's lovely. It's by a chap called Grant Suzalu, S for sugar,
uh-huh.
O for Oscar.
Okay.
S for sugar, A for Arthur, L for London, and U for uniform. Grant Suzalu. And the book is called Loving Your Life.
Loving Your Life?
And you can get it, Loving Your Life, yeah.
Okay.
And it includes positive psychology, neuro-linguistic programming, all the kind of tools that will help you to change your life, and you'll get some direction there because you'll be able to tap into your head, heart, and gut intelligences. So your head's going to give you the creative ideas, your heart's going to give you the compassion, and the gut is going to give you the courage.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I'm going to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's available from that big online book, you know, one-stop shop
Amazon.
Of a website.
Oh.
Yeah.
Google search it.
Yeah, and if you love the book, please do leave a review just to support it, because it is a beautiful book that more people should know about. Has that been helpful, Jane?
Yes, it has. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I'm going to read
the
book.
Excellent. That's your starting point, and then you can start deciding who you are. Start to uncover who you are. All right, lovely.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks for calling, Jane.
Thanks.
And to Eric, code 708, just to let you know, Tricia's going to be back on February 9th, but you can reach her on Facebook. And, you know, I certainly think that anybody that's been listening can tell how gifted Tricia is, and she worked with me at length and really helped me. So if you have something that's troubling you in your life, I'd suggest you contact her. Her website's under construction, and I already gave that out. So God bless you all. And Tricia, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me, David. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Okay. So once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. And Tricia?
Are we off?